The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1060 WMEL. Every Tuesday, we're here with you to talk about business and success and to help you bring more success and satisfaction to life and work. Bold Talk Business Radio brings you insights, strategies, tips, and tools. But this week, once a week, on Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month, we offer a special segment called Space Talk Tuesday. And today we have our guest expert, Jason Ryan, on the line. Jason is the senior editor of SpaceFlightInsider.com, a very entertaining and informative online journal. We look forward to speaking with Jason in just a moment. We have Pete Anselmo in the studio with us.
Looking forward to it.
And we've got Vince Young in our engineering booth today. Hey, Vince, how you doing? He's giving me the thumbs up, so we're A-OK on the line here. So a couple of weeks ago, we had Frank DiBello from Space Florida on the line with us talking about many of the things that influence the financial growth and the financial development to support the space sector growth on Florida's Space Coast. And today we have Jason Ryan to give us an overview of lots of projects that are going on. Jason, welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio.
Thank you so much, Donna. You know, it's a great way to spend a road trip. We're actually traveling to go see Frank and some other folks up at Florida Space Day in Tallahassee. So you got me on the road today.
All right. Well, we're gonna live with that and do our best to make it an interesting road trip for you and for our listeners, because I know we've got a lot of listeners on the road today as well.
Sounds good.
Hey, Jason, I wanted to touch base. It's Peter here. How did you make out yesterday with the Super Guppy?
Oh, it was so cool. You know, my photographers have captured that weird-looking aircraft several times, but I personally have never had a chance to see it. And it was a little delayed from coming from the Michoud Assembly Facility in Louisiana, but, man, when it did, it made quite the entrance. It was a very unique, very weird-looking craft, and you can check it out on SpaceFlightInsider.com. We had a whole article on it, or you can just go to our Facebook page and check it out there. But it's this weird-looking thing, and it kind of, the whole front end of it opened up, and it revealed the Orion, what NASA is referring to as the pressure vessel, for the Exploration Mission 1, which would be the first integrated mission between the Orion spacecraft and the space agency's new super heavy lift Space Launch System booster. So very cool stuff yesterday, Pete.
Very good, very good. That's for those people who are new to the thinking, that's the NASA project that hopefully will end up on Mars, and that's the beginning of the testing of all the machinery that's going to get us there. I was also curious, I wanted to speak to you about a little bit about Florida Space Day. You're on the road to go there, and I believe tomorrow is when many of the people from the space industry will be meeting with legislators to sort of get to know what's available and what projects are of interest, and trying to build the relationship between industry and Florida. And I'm sure that Frank DiBello, whom we've had on the show, will be in attendance to help lead the discussion, shall we say. What's your interest there, Jason?
Well, what we've done for the past 4 years, back when I worked with this tiny little blog out of Austin, and now that I work for Space Flight Insider, we've gone up to the Capitol, and they basically, it's a very unique experience, Pete, because, you know, on any given day, You'll see these guys, SpaceX, ULA, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Aerojet, Rocketdyne, and they're all kind of, in a lot of cases, I should say, they're competing with one another. They put all that aside. They all work together as one to explain why space exploration is important and why these legislators should get out front and center and support space exploration efforts. So it's very encouraging to see folks from United Launch Alliance and SpaceX at the same table coordinating. We're actually going to the reception tonight. They're going to be talking to one another, getting this all set up, and then they'll make the rounds tomorrow. And these guys are hustling. They'll go from one legislator to the next, and they'll make sure to get the point made, and then they'll sit down. Some of them will sit down with us. Dr. Sandy Magnus, she's former NASA shuttle astronaut. She's going to be there tomorrow as well to also help encourage that. Of course, you have a lot of other great organizations that also participate in Florida Space Day, including the Delaware North, which is the operators of the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation, Orbital ATK, many, many others. Folks that make space happen are all going to be there tomorrow encouraging the Florida Senate to support space exploration efforts.
Really exciting. This to be on the Space Coast at this time is really an exciting period. The amount of energy and the amount of dollars really coming in to the area that supports employment and development in these businesses is phenomenal, and it's going to create an engine, an economic engine that will sustain this area through the coming years. I mean, I just think it's an exciting time.
Oh, it really is. And I know, Pete, you want to talk a bit about Blue Origin, so let me kind of segue into that.
Sure.
You know, not too long ago, we were invited out to SLC 36, Space Launch Complex 36, with Blue Origin announcing that they're as yet to be named the launch vehicle, which they very humorously called Big Brother, would be launching from Space Launch Complex 36. Then you got SpaceX over at 40. You got United Launch Alliance over at 37 and 41. And, of course, NASA is at 39B with their new Space Launch System, which we talked about a little while ago. And SpaceX has got a 20-year lease for the very historic Launch Complex 39A, where the Falcon Heavy is going to be launching from. We were out there yesterday, and, you know, I had a new person come out with us, and, you know, they were surprised to see how different the place looked. Because you look at the old orbiter processing facilities, and they got Boeing logos, or home of the X-37B.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is kind of a marketing thing, but I think NASA really is kind of smart in how they're handling it. They have this two-pronged approach, where all these commercial companies are handling low-Earth orbit operations. Meanwhile, the agency is getting back, in my opinion, to what they should be doing, and that is exploring, sending crews to deep space, to Mars, hopefully in the 2030s, to an asteroid, and to other destinations. So it's like you said, you really nailed it on the head. It's an exciting time at NASA and along Florida Space Coast.
Yeah, I think it's good for our listeners to understand what the kind of the distinction is between NASA, which is obviously a government-funded situation, versus whether it's SpaceX or Blue Origin or the other corporations. Those are privately funded. And the distinction really is in the effort to bring space travel to, let's say, the common man, the average individual. And the private companies, SpaceX and Blue Origin, are really in a space race to see who can get people into orbit for the least amount of money and make it available to the average individual. Whereas
Some clarification needs
sure.
to be made there, because there's a lot of confusion about that, and we actually see this quite a lot. Blue Origin is the one that you're describing with the common man, with their New Shepard launch system. And they're the ones that are working to get, like, well, we say the common man, but let's say the well-to-do common man.
The uncommon common man.
The uncommon man. But, yeah, they're the ones focused on the general public, and they're also working with NASA in some efforts, too. But, you know, there's some confusion when you say commercial. Folks tend to lead towards Blue Origin or SpaceX, but the fact of the matter is SpaceX, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Orbital ATK, Blue Origin, in terms of how they work with NASA, there's not really a lot of distinction there, because they're all contractors to provide some type of services.
Right, like, there's certainly overlap.
It's like the SLS. Well, everybody says, well, that's NASA's SLS. Well, yes, it is, because they bought it, but the fact of the matter is, it's built by, it's the four stages built by Boeing. The solid rocket boosters released for the first few flights are built by Orbital ATK. Meanwhile, you've got launch services for cargo to the ISS. That's provided by SpaceX, Orbital ATK, and as we've heard recently, and we're all very excited about this, Sierra Nevada Corporation's new mini shuttle, Dream Chaser. It has been selected this year to join the commercial resupply services flights to the ISS. So again, just all kinds of people providing great services to NASA, and to a lesser extent, but still important, is the I guess you would call it space tourism industry. Yes.
And since you mentioned Dream Chaser, Jason Ryan, I want to let our listeners know that if they're interested in Dream Chaser shirts and paraphernalia, they can visit a new website that SNC put together in collaboration with Space Shirts called SNCLogoshop.com. And you can get all things Dream Chaser right there at SNCLogoshop.com.
Very cool. I mean, that's one of the, you know, I'm not sure if your listeners are aware of this, but covering the space program is probably the coolest job on the planet, as you guys can kind of figure from what we saw yesterday and all the launches we covered. But whenever we go out there, that, you know, they're great to us. We get these little swag bags. Like, I got a great swag bag for the, and I'm not ashamed to admit, yes, I'm a journalist, but I like the goodies, too.
Everybody like does.
Oh, yeah, I love the shirts, the hats. I mean, it's just, and SpaceX is really great about that. They have really cool, they give you decals, patches, and, you know, shirts and hats and the whole
and
nine yards.
And I seem to have lost my connection with Jason Ryan. This is Donna Anselmo, and you're listening to Bold Talk Business Radio at AM 1060 WMEL. Jason's back on the line with us after a short call drop.
I had a question, Jason.
Sure.
We really do have a space race going on between some of these companies such as SpaceX and Blue Origin, and there's a race to get people into space. How's that going?
Well, the race is like what you're referring to. It seems to be predominantly at present between SpaceX and Blue Origin. Of course, Blue Origin is owned by Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com, and then SpaceX, the founder, is Elon Musk of PayPal.com. And the race, in my opinion, is really not so much to space, because we've been there, we've done that, we've got the T-shirt, no pun intended, but it's actually to get out of space, to get back from space, because they're landing rockets back to the first stage. And I have to admit, you know, humility is an important part of space exploration coverage. And I have to admit, I was wrong. When I first saw SpaceX's video of, you know, they had this beautiful, slick animation of their rocket landing back at the launch site, I laughed, because I had become accustomed to seeing rockets that were single use.
Right.
They would go
right
off to the launch and they'd end up in the ocean.
I think we all have.
Yeah, and then we thought that was the only way that it could be done. Well, I was wrong. They landed back in December. They almost landed out in the ocean out for this Jason. And I love that mission's name, by the way, Jason 3. They almost landed.
I was going to ask you about that.
I phoned ahead to NOAA, and I said, I know you got a spacecraft launching, and I'm a big fan. How about you just name it after me? I'm a popular guy. Go ahead and... But they almost nailed it on this little tiny, itty-bitty little platform out in the Pacific. But a landing leg latch, from what I understand, did not work correctly, and it tipped over. But, I mean, they essentially nailed the landing out on the ocean, if it wasn't just that one little anomaly. So, Blue Origin... Now, Blue Origin, and you know, to keep things in, it's all about scale in space flight. Blue Origin isn't going quite as high.
Right.
And they're doing test flights.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas SpaceX, and you got to give props to this, SpaceX is testing out this system during actual missions. And, you know, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because here you are doing a test flight, and there's no payload. And you're just doing the test, and then you're putting all that money up there, and it really doesn't accomplish anything. Well, SpaceX is kind of streamlined the process, cut out a lot of the fat, and said, look, the best example of it, Pete and Donna, is this last, the Orbcomm OG2 launch. They had an accident in June of 2015, and so they on this one mission to carry out a return to flight up their rocket, show that they had fixed the problem. They launched right at the very opening of the launch window, which is something that SpaceX is not known for, and then they landed beautifully. I mean, simply put, it was probably one of the most precise and perfect launches and landings I've ever seen. And I've seen shuttles land, I've seen shuttles launch, I've seen 60, 70 launches, right there. And I've never seen anything just work so beautifully as that launch. It was incredible. So
that was incredible.
Talking about the challenge of getting back from space, what did you think of the movie The Martian?
I got a take on that movie. I love the movie, first of all. I think it was great. One of my things as a journalist is dealing with the public affairs folks. And I love how the public affairs folks of NASA are portrayed in that movie because they nails it. They can be challenging sometimes. And it's nice. I thought it was a very accurate portrayal, as much as you can get from Hollywood. For those of us that understand the dynamics of the Martian environment, we know that a storm like that can never really happen on Mars. As the old phrase goes, there's not enough air there. Well, in the case of Mars, there's not enough air there. There's not enough air for a storm of that type to really take place. But by and large, I liked it. I really thought it was fun. In fact, I think I watched it twice in one day. I just got a really big kick out of it. I liked his choice of language. As a former soldier and law enforcement officer, my language dips to the colorful from time to time, especially when things are not going right. And this poor guy, had nothing going right for him. If something could have gone wrong, it went wrong like four times that way. So I really enjoyed it. I also like the fact that he talks to the upcoming astronauts at the end, and he says, "Hey, what do you do when you have a problem and you just want to sit there and scream and cry?" He goes, "What you do is you work the problem. Then the next problem happens, and then you deal with that. And then you deal with the one after that." That's basically how NASA, through Gene Kranz of Apollo 13 and the Apollo program fame.
I was just going to say, that was a great example of it right there.
I thought it was a great movie. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Well, we did too, and we really love your very insightful commentary on that. Speaking of working the problem, I want our listeners to stay tuned with us after the news. We've still got time on the line with Jason Ryan here, but I just want to let you know that after the news break, we're going to be coming back with talk about success and how you work the success problem and how you take your business to the next level.
You're listening to AM 1060 WMEL, and if you have any questions, we can be reached at 321-241-1060. I wanted to just give a little shout out to the memorial services that we celebrated these past weeks regarding Apollo and the Challenger disaster. I think it what it does is that it brings to reality that dealing with large, powerful machines and complex systems can be dangerous. And we have exceptional people who are committed and involved in these projects. And it's really a tribute to the American system and to people really worldwide who participate in space that it's a dangerous business, and we look at it and look at it from afar, and it looks, geez, great fun. But these are complex systems, and things do happen.
Well, thank you for that memory. We're listening to, and you're listening to, Jason Ryan, our special guest at Bold Talk Business Radio today for our Space Talk segment. And this is Donna Anselmo and Pete Anselmo on AM 1060 WMEL. Jason, what were you about to say?
Well, I wanted to back up what Pete was saying. The one thing, and I noticed it again today, and so the biggest problem that the space community has is that, and you have to understand, you have to really listen to what I'm saying here. It's this. Everyone in the space community knows more than everyone else in the space community. There's not a lot of humility, having said that, you kind of need these larger-than-life egos and personalities to do amazing and incredible things. So it's not that I'm pointing a finger. It's just acknowledging that this is the kind of dynamic that we're working at, because this is never routine. Everybody got taught that lesson last year because they had their own accidents. These things happen, and rather than freak out or lose our mind or say there's some big problem, you need it, for us it's kind of helpful, because when we go in to some of these rooms, they tell us you can't take pictures of what you're seeing in here. It's happened before. And the reason why is they have everything laid out. And let me tell you something, guys. It redefines the word complex. It is amazingly complex. It is so complex that, I mean, I've been doing this for more than a decade, and I still barely grasp the concept. So I wish there was a way that my words as a journalist could better relay just how difficult what these people do is. But we, you know, again, I think it's been 30 years since Challenger. It's been about 13 years, if my math is terrible, since Columbia. And it's been 49 years, almost 50, since Apollo 1. And the one thing that really made me feel good is, again, it's been almost half a century since we lost the crew of Apollo 1. But during the memorial, it was packed. The people still came in, and they still remember the folks who gave their lives in the service of space exploration. So for Donna's question, what you guys were talking about earlier, I'm inspired by the fact that we haven't forgotten these people, and we still value their sacrifice and their commitment.
Absolutely.
I think one thing the American spirit loves is a champion and a hero. And I think it's probably universal.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fact that we have such a complex commitment to space exploration, I mean, from the business end of it in terms of the commercial, but also from the country in terms of NASA, I think therein is an extremely important component of the space project. And I think we're going to hear more and more about it in terms of the political discussion and trying to get more support for NASA and for the for going to Mars, let's say. I think the politics of it hopefully will be changing in the near future, and that our commitment to exploration will be more significant and will give the Americans, give us, and even the world, an objective, something to look forward to.
Well, Pete, and guys, let me know if I'm running into any time wall here, but I'm glad you mentioned Mars, and we are running into a time wall.
We have a minute left, so I want our listeners to know that they've been listening to Jason Ryan, Spaceflight Insider, with Donna and Pete Anselmo on Bold Talk Business Radio. Jason, you've got a minute left before we have to go to a break.
Okay. Real quick, Mars and the Martian. I think folks that watched that movie noticed that the Hermes spacecraft, it was huge. And the stuff that we're developing now, the Orion and the SLS, is basically to get payloads to orbit, now that we don't have the shuttle anymore, and to basically ferry crews up and down from Earth orbit. That's what Orion's going to be built for. Having said that, there's been a lot of talk about Europe being involved in our space program, going to Mars, commercial companies. I've seen versions of the SLS that have the orbital ATK solid rocket boost.
Jason, we're going to have to leave it at that today, and I want our listeners to go look at spaceflightinsider.com for more information this week. That's Jason's online journal, www.spaceflightinsider.com. Thank you, Jason Ryan, for being with us today. Come back and join us for another edition of Space Talk on Bold Talk Business Radio. Stay with us after the break.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and welcome back for the second half of Bold Talk Business Radio at Broadcast House in the 1060 AM WMEL studio today with Pete Anselmo. Thanks to Vince Young for running the board for us today. And thank you, listeners. Thanks for being there. Thanks for caring. Thanks for working on your business. Thanks for wanting to build more success and satisfaction in your life, because the desire is the first step.
Right. And what we're going to try to do is to look at problem solving. All businesses encounter problems and difficulties, and we're going to try to give you an outline for how to approach a problem, how to deal with it, and then how to move on from it with a solution. So, Donna, you want to give us a brief outline of what we're talking about here?
Well, yeah. You know, in the last segment, Pete, we had Jason Ryan on the line in the first half of the show talking about things that are happening in the space program. And one of the topics that we hit on was the need to solve problems, and makes me think about how we need to constantly be on our toes so that we can find new and innovative ways to do things differently when problems arise, whether we're NASA or whether we're a solo entrepreneur or a small business owner running a company with 10 to 50 employees.
I think the key word there is doing things differently, because very often, particularly in a small business, we run into consistent problems, problems that we deal with over and over and over again, are the same problem. And we just either don't have the time, we don't have the inclination, what have you, to really get to a solution that moves us off point.
Well, a lot of times I think people get caught in the comfort zone. You know, mark me guilty, because we all get caught in a comfort zone, and sometimes it's just easier to stick with something that doesn't really work as well as it should, just because you know what you can expect from that. But it may not be the optimum outcome, but it's a little outcome. But if you really want to solve a problem or look for an innovative way of doing your business differently so that you can take your business to the next level, you're going to have to ask yourself some key questions, and we'll get to those questions in a little bit. But the first thing you have to really think about is, what is the problem you're trying to solve? That's a crucial question. What is it that's not going well? What is the, not only the problem that you're trying to solve, which sometimes could be a personality problem in a business, sometimes it's a piece of equipment that doesn't work right. Maybe you have a problem about, maybe your problem is, can I fund a new piece or do I have to fix the old piece? That might be a simple problem. It could be very complex depending on your situation. So that's when you have to start asking yourself the right questions and trying to observe what opportunities you have for solving that problem. So you might be asking simple questions like, what do I have to do better to make this work for me? Or what's missing here that would make a difference? It's just starting with those simple questions can kind of propel you to defining what your real problem is. Sometimes the real problem isn't the problem we think we're looking at.
Well, that's, I'm sure, particularly true when you're dealing with personalities or employees, in terms of, let's say you have a landscape business and the people aren't showing up on time, or they're taking breaks that they shouldn't be taking, or, you know, you have these difficulties that are recurrent, and it's something that you really need to address. It's extremely frustrating, but here's where you have to apply key problem-solving approaches.
Sure. Well, the thing you want to look at there is what's underneath the obvious. It's like peeling off the layers of an onion. You want to say, okay, so if people aren't coming in on time, if people are taking too long at break time, what's going on? What kind of messages are they getting about the business? And what does their behavior signal back to me about what's happening here? Are we setting the right expectations? Or our work is really overloaded that they're so exhausted they can't get back the next day? Do we need then to make a change in our process? Are we hiring the right people to begin with? Or are we just kind of bringing in some lazy saps and they're getting lazier while they're at the workplace? But most of the time, employees really want to do a good job. I believe that in my deepest heart.
No, absolutely. I think you're right.
People want to do well. They want to feel successful. They want to feel appreciated. They want to feel rewarded. And I think that means that they start out wanting to do a good job. So what are we doing, and how are we training people to do bad jobs?
Well, the other thing you mentioned is about the analyzing the problem, and this is a key area to really drill down and analyze exactly what is going on. It could be, part of the problem is an individual situation. And so maybe you want to call the employee in, you want to sit them down, you want to talk to them. But that may be for a single individual, and that's maybe a solution to that problem. But if it's a more generalized circumstance, then maybe you need to look at a broader complex of issues.
Sure. So the first step we said was to define the problem. Look at what the problem is you're trying to solve and figure out if you're asking the right questions to get at the information you need to solve the problem. Then once you're pretty sure about what you're trying to do, then you have to turn it on its head and look at it from multiple angles and look at, and this is very important, the sources of variation and the way that you determine what variables will make a difference in the outcome is that you have to collect data. So you have to actually look at what's happening. You've got to start, counting out the problem and noticing what incidents trigger what other incidents or what product part influences another product part. So you want to look at when the problem occurs, how often it occurs, where it occurs. A lot of times you can do it by diagramming. Sometimes you have to bring a group of people together in your business. Sometimes you need to bring in, and it might be helpful to bring in people who are part of your team, even people from other workflow areas that you might not necessarily think impact the process. They may have observations because they're outsiders that when you're so close to the problem, you don't see it yourself. Another thing you can do when you're analyzing problems is to put your situation out to a focus group. And, you might have a problem with your brand. You might have a marketing issue. You might have a brand perception problem. Maybe going to a group of consumers and asking some questions in a small situation, take them out for lunch at a restaurant and find some people you think will be objective and give you some fair feedback.
That's a really great point, because a lot of times, particularly in small businesses, you don't have the resources available to you in the business to get a lot of feedback or to look at the problem, in a more detailed manner. So very often it might be instructive, it might be important for you to go outside of the business to bring in someone who has a certain expertise to deal with that specific problem. And maybe you want somebody to come in who has HR specialties, who knows the process for going through an employment process. So you might want to bring in an expert.
Or you might want to bring in a user of your products and services. And that, of course, is going to depend on the problem that you're trying to solve. So another issue and the third point in getting to an innovative solution here after defining the problem and beginning to analyze it is to deciding how you're going to decide on a solution. You need to have decision criteria for what a good solution is going to look like. And that could be different depending on what problem you're trying to solve. It will definitely be different. But you might look at, is this an answer that meets all of my goals, essentially? Will it be something I can afford to do? Is it easy to implement? Can my people learn how to make this change quickly? Will it happen in a time frame that we need? You have to think about the kinds of parameters that are going to make that solution work for you. Is it environmentally correct?
Well, I think what's particularly important is to look at some of the consequences of the solution. And that's a key component of this. Because, if it's a question of an employee not showing up in time, you don't want to make the solution, I'll just fire the guy. That's really not a solution, because that could be more costly for you. It could, there could be other ramifications that you're not taking into consideration. So before you jump into a given solution, it's important to look at all the facets of what's going on.
I think it's really important to kind of define a problem by the distance between the where you're at now, what's actually occurring that isn't optimal, and what your optimal circumstance is. Ask yourself, what is the specific outcome or outcomes that I need to see in order for this situation to function better and deliver the value to me and my company that we need? Then you can decide if each potential solution is going to meet your criteria. If they do, then you have another problem. You've got to come up with...
Well, you have some choices.
Which solution is going to be the best solution for you?
But that's an extremely important point, is I just want to mention, is that there may be more than one solution to the problem, and that very often there are more than one solution, so that it's good to consider some of the different solutions that are available to you and to consider the ramifications of each of those solutions.
Exactly. So don't stop at the first, the first
exactly.
checkpoint. Don't stop at something that occurs to you or your team and it sounds good in the moment and you say, okay, that's it, let's go with it. There are moments where you want to do that, but there is also a pause in time that you might want to take to say, and what else could we do? I love the what else question. What else can we do? And my other favorite question, which leads to finding the outcomes you really want, is what do I want instead of what's happening now? When you ask that question, you begin to target the solution that you want to get to. So ask first, what do I want instead? That should be your first problem-solving question. And then as you begin to sift through facets of the problem and define them and come up with some suggested solutions and decide how you're going to make that decision, you'll probably come up, if you've asked the question, what else, with multiple changes you can implement, and there is no substitute for variety. So if you want to make a decision, then you need to kind of spec out the different scenarios that you would have based on the changes that you think you want to implement. And that means you have to look at the pros and cons of each, meaning you check them against your decision criteria and say, is this going to work or not for me?
Well, that's very good. And the thing about analysis that's important is, let's say the case that I've been kind of talking about where the employee shows up late all the time. It would be good to start with trying to understand exactly, and this is all part of the defining and analyzing the problem, to talk to the people. It may be that this individual has a young child at home. They can't get out of the house on time. So there may be other solutions that will fit the bill for this certain employee. And so therein is what you have to look at, is some of the other solutions that are available to make it work. And I think what Donna was saying is extremely important.
So what I'm going to suggest to our listeners is that if you're an individual solving a problem in your life, you're going to look at what's going to work best for you in your scenario with your home, your family, your children, your job. Depends obviously on what problem you're trying to solve. But if you're a business owner or a manager or a business leader, you want to think about choosing the solution that's really the most customer-centric, because you want to be able to make sure that everything that you're implementing is to serve your customers, because without your customers, you don't have a business.
That's extremely important. And one of the areas that we talk about and try to deal with a lot in our business in terms of bold marketing solutions is taking businesses to the next level, and which is extremely important and particularly difficult for small businesses, typical businesses where there's a single owner who is not only the owner, he's the partial bookkeeper, he's the salesman, he's the contract negotiator, he's all of these different hats. And dealing with the person in that circumstance, trying to take that business to the next level is something that that we deal with quite a bit, and it's important, I think, in that circumstance particularly, to look to outside resources that can help you building the business that can be, you actually want to build a foundation that you can move onto so that you don't have to, as the small business owner, be doing 9 different jobs and working 80 hours a week.
Absolutely. But when you want to take your business to the next level as a small business owner, one of the things that you need to do is to consider how you're going to manage that change. And it also ties back to what we were just talking about with problem solving. If you're going to implement a solution, if you're going to do something differently in your company, you need to be assured that your team is on board and prepared for that change. So that leads me to remind you that change management is very essential, and to help you manage change of any kind, whether it's in your personal and family life or whether it's in your business life and business world and your company, the first thing you need to do is to clarify the objective of what you're trying to accomplish and communicate the purpose. Get people in your company or in your life on board with why it's important for you to make that change. A lot of times people resist change, and they resist change mostly because they don't know how it's going to affect them afterwards. A lot of times in business, people may worry that a change is going to mean that they're going to be out of a job. It may mean that they're going to lose power. A lot of people are very concerned with holding the power in their position. And when you turn things upside down for them and something different is about to happen, they need to understand why it's so important for them to stay connected.
And just to add on to that, one of the important parts of that is because by explaining and bringing understanding to the change process, you gain allies. It's not just a negative situation. You can gain allies in making this change so that it becomes easier for you as well as the entire business to make the change. So introducing change is typically, it's very good, but to do it in the proper way in terms of explaining and bringing knowledge to your employees is very important.
So let's say you're a small business owner, and you have made a goal. You're going to grow your business. You're going to double your business. You're going to take your business to the next level in whichever area of your company is most important to you or for your whole company in general. You're going to have to start asking yourself some key questions. And some of the questions that you want to ask deal with strategy specifically, such as, how are we going to go about creating new revenue, creating more revenue? Where is this revenue going to come from, and how are we going to get there?
Typically, in that area, it involves sales. And what we want to do in that circumstance, where the owner is very often the main salesperson, you want to perhaps bring someone in that can do some training so that you can add a salesperson. It may be that you want to just go to the outside and say, listen, I'm going to hire someone to come in and work as a commission salesman for the business. It may be that you have people already on staff that are certainly capable of learning to sell for your business. And that very often is a great resource of how to develop salespeople in your business, because salespeople out there bringing in sales is how your business develops a financial base that everything else feeds off of.
So I'm thinking, as I'm listening to you, Pete, that there are many companies that put extreme pressure on their employees to sell more. So you can generate revenues by finding new markets, adding new salespeople, or tapping into customers that you already have. But that takes people resources to get it done. It takes training to get it done. So another strategic question you want to ask yourself is, what strategic plans, sales, and operational tactics are necessary to meet current and long-term goals? Other questions, what processes do we have to put in place to make sure that we're going to have sustainable and predictable outcomes? How are we going to organize our people power and our human resource efforts to support implementation of this plan year after year? And how are we going to be able to flex the plan in the future? Very important. How are we going to measure and track outcomes? Tracking is essential. And what changes are needed to help us enhance productivity and efficiency? So we're coming on to the close of Bold Talk Business Radio's hour this week. Thanks, Pete Anselmo, for co-hosting with me today. And
enjoyed
to Jason
it.
Ryan, editor of Spaceflight Insider, for being with us earlier. And, of course, to Vince Young on the desk. And I think I see someone else. I think that might even be Vern Harper at the desk right now, helping us to end this show and make sure that we close out in time for our news segment. Come back next week, February 9th. We are going to be talking with attorney Lisa Pomerantz about how to build great strategic alliances that work with channel partners for your business. And I believe we're going to have Dr. Diane Kramer on with us next week. Oh, no, I think it's Jay Yadon, who's going to be talking with us about success tips for young entrepreneurs and success tips for small businesses in general. So come back, listen to us next week. Have a wonderful week. Make it bold. Believe in yourself and make it a great week.